the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. With Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It is still Monday, December 21st, 2020, for us and for you.
Don't you worry about it. We are here with the second half of our season-long predictions. You just listened to our Eastern Conference predictions, and we're saving the best for last. It's the Western Conference, the cream of the crop, the number one champions. Let's go. Let's start it off. Northwest Division. We're going to start at the very bottom. We have the perennially underachieving Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah. Man, has it been a depressing few years to be a Timberwolves fan?
It really has been tough, but they had some big, big additions in the offseason. Think about it. They brought Ricky Rubio back. He's here to guide this ship. They brought in I mean, I'm like, you laugh. I'm not kidding. That is what he is here to do. He's here to steer this disaster. And I think that he will do a good job of that. I think that, you know, in my mind, you start Ricky Rubio, you start D'Angelo Russell, you start Karl Anthony Towns, you start Malik Beasley, and you start, gosh, who else do you start?
Do you start Malik Beasley?
Yes, you do start Malik Beasley.
Will he be available to start?
Yeah, his plea deal. Well, I guess, you know, depending on his suspension, but, you know, maybe Jarrett Culver instead. I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do in the front court as well.
Yeah, but, just so you know, just in case you're not caught up, Malik Beasley has pled guilty to a charge I had never heard of before called threats of violence.
Yeah.
But this is a felony, felony counts.
And after his probation, they are reducing it to a misdemeanor.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good. Okay. Yeah, you know what's funny is if you look at this team, they've got people that can put it in the basket.
Yeah. Seems like. That they are a young team that I'm excited to see what happens. Anthony Edwards, we'll see if he likes playing basketball as the number one pick. That was his big concern, apparently, in the draft, was whether or not he actually wanted to play, which is a wild thing to draft somebody first who doesn't like basketball. But
it has been done before.
Only Kwame Brown can let you know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Kwame Brown, Michael Olowokandi was somebody that they questioned. I mean, by the way, it's never turned out well.
No.
It's never been like, oh, he caught the bug.
Yeah.
It's more like, hey, this is a way for this extremely tall man to pay his bills, which, by the way, I think is absolutely fine.
Very fine.
Unless they're a Laker.
I don't think they're going to be good. I floated this the other day. I think they should trade for James Harden.
Oh.
I think that James Harden would be a really good fit in Minnesota.
I like that.
I think the D'Angelo Russell package with Anthony Edwards and, Jarrett Culver would probably be a good, like, players picks for that. And it's not like they're going to be, like, so good with Harden, but I think that they'd be, like, playoff contention with him and Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a good fit around him. So, my opinion is that they should trade for James Harden and let the cards fall where they may. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I would also say, I would also say that, like, given the way that Jimmy Butler reacted to the players on this team, that maybe they are more like James Harden type vibe players than anybody else.
That could be true. I like that. I don't think that they're going to be good. I'm not going to make a prediction based on their ability to land James Harden. So I'm going to put them at 25 games.
I just think, it's funny is like, it's actually hard. How many games did Cat play last year? Did he play the whole season?
Yes. He wasn't out for too long.
I'll have to say that I think they're going to win 20 games.
Okay.
Which what I was about to say was like, it's hard to believe that a team that would have Cat on the roster for the whole season would
win. He played about He played 35 of their like 50 games.
Oh, okay. Let me bump it up a little bit then. Let me say, I'm going to say they're going to win 24 games.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Sounds okay. Good to me.
Sorry, Timberwolves.
That's okay. Hey, coming up next, you got your hot 8 seed, Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Big additions to the Trailblazers this year are their brand new starting small forward, Robert Covington.
Mm-hmm.
They recently got rid of Hassan Whiteside, which is an addition if I've ever heard of one. and yeah, they kept Carmelo Anthony. They added Harry Giles from our good friends, the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. Added Derek Jones Jr. from Miami, the high flyer. Hoping he can be a defensive stopper for them. Their big goal this offseason was to get better at defense. And I think that adding Derek Jones and adding Harry Giles and adding Robert Covington puts them where they need to be on their wing defense. So I like them to improve this season over what they did last year. You know, Nurkic was hurt all year.
Yeah.
Dame had to carry them. And, you know, he had off games and Dame was hurt for a little bit. I like the Portland Trailblazers this year. Confession. Do I like them because I like them or because I got suckered into play a fantasy basketball league and I drafted both Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum?
Oh my gosh. Casey Lawrence.
What is clouding my judgment here? Is it my desire to win a fantasy basketball league I didn't pay any money for? Or is it my good basketball analysis skills? I think it's probably the latter, but if it was the former, I'll deal with it.
Well, here's the thing is, I think that they should go 40 and 32 if they have them all healthy.
Okay.
So I hope that it happens. I hope that Nurkic stays healthy.
Great.
I don't think you're necessarily clouded by your decision. Now, I do think, I do hope that you get all of your poor decisions out of your body before, you know, drafting both those dudes.
It was a good draft. Let's just say this.
Who was your number one pick?
Damian Lillard.
Damn.
I picked him sixth.
Whoa. That is something.
So in this league, they're doing they're doing the fantasy points scoring.
Uh-huh. Do they get bonus points for like logo shots?
They get one bonus point for a logo make.
Is Lillard like a fantasy powerhouse that he's sixth? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is ranked eighth in the preseason.
Wow.
Like that's his like I guess like if we're going to go players and player list.
Let me think of who I would obviously LeBron, Giannis, Harden. I would probably put Westbrook up there. It's tough to gauge where Durant and Irving end up.
Uh-huh.
But I think I would put Durant up there.
Okay. So the top 10 players in fantasy based on Yahoo's rankings are James Harden, Luka Doncic, yep. Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Trae Young, and Devin Booker.
Whoa. Okay. So they're all above LeBron, which is I could see in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not sure how much he's going to have his foot to the gas pedal in the regular season this year.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about Doncic. Doncic is a very clear
top
performer there. Wait, where's Westbrook? Not in that top 10?
Westbrook is not in that top 10. Westbrook is not on the first page of this this list.
Odd, because isn't he like a counting stats king kind of?
Yes. I think it's mostly that in fantasy sports, normally he is lower because of his low field goal percentage.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
That being said, I don't think that's right. I think that he should be up there, and I wanted to draft him, and I could not.
Oh. I have the Trailblazers winning 40 games. How many do you have them winning?
I have them winning 43.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would love to see a season where Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic all stay healthy and just to see what the potential of that team is when they're all healthy.
Yeah.
So I hope that happens this year.
Great. Okay, so up next we got the Utah Jazz. The Jazz did not do too much this offseason. Their big big get in the offseason.
Yeah, they did a huge thing. Their big get.
What was their huge get?
Bojan.
He's back.
Did they not get Bojan?
they have Bojan. They had him last year.
They got him back from the bubble then. I don't know. Yes. I thought this was his first year there.
No, he was there last year. He got injured, and then he couldn't play in the bubble.
Well, then he's back.
He's back. I think the big get this offseason would have been bringing back Derek Favors. They kept the team the same. They re-signed Jordan Clarkson. They still have Mike Conley. That's it. Their team people is the like, same.
I think it's I do think sports is fascinating because sports is so like in many ways sports is such a thing that you can actually collect objective data about. And so somebody like Mike Conley to me is a very fascinating career to me that fit and location and coaching and chemistry with the rest of the team can so affect the way a player plays that a lot of the times we talk about sports in such a way that's like, you know, oh, this guy's definitely better than this guy or whatever. And I feel like last year it started rough and I kept wanting Conley to like sort of have a like, oh, now he's back to the old Conley. And that would be my hope this year as well. That if they have a healthy Bojan and if they have a even 80% Memphis Conley, that they would be improved from last year.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're going to be better than last year. I think they're going to have probably less epidemics, like pandemics started by their team.
I mean, at this point in our lives, I don't know if I can guarantee that.
But I like the Jazz. I like their team. I think that Donovan Mitchell is really good. I think he's going to keep improving. I don't see a ton of holes on this team. Maybe their defense isn't what it used to be. But, I think they're a team on the up and up, and I would put them at 46 games.
I'm going to give them the thing is I want to say 46 as well, but I'm going to because of my inflation of the East, I'm going to give them 45 games.
Okay. All right. Got it. We're going to make it up one game at a time.
Yeah.
Coming up next, you got your very, very good Oklahoma City Thunder. They're bringing back Chris Paul. They're bringing back Steven Adams.
Everybody's
bringing back Danilo Gallinari. They're bringing back Kevin Durant. They're bringing back Russell Westbrook.
They're bringing back Hersey Hawkins from the Sonics.
Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. They got what's his face? Detlef Schrempf is coming back.
Jack Sipa.
Big season for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm going to predict them at 475 wins. Sorry. Now all the lies are done. The Oklahoma City Thunder traded everyone. It was like that scene in the first Star Trek reboot where Eric Bana was like, fire everything! And they got rid of everything for draft picks. Like, no joke. They traded so many people from this team. They didn't re-sign Danilo Gallinari. They traded away Chris Paul. They traded away Steven Adams. This is a young team with no hope of being good this season. No hope. And they know that. They know that that's what's going to happen. They're going to try to get, they brought in Al Horford. They brought in Trevor Ariza. They brought in George Hill. Yikes, right? That's like full yikes. A real rough go of it in this awful, awful offseason for them for the health of their team this year.
All right. I mean, they not only do they have a lot of young players, and no hope of being a good team. They have no incentive to be a good team.
Correct. Yeah, they're going for draft picks.
How many draft picks do they have now?
Well, it's all of them. It's me in Madden 1996 in the franchise mode, trading every single player on my team for a draft pick and making a team of rookies and losing a lot.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's going to be a rough year for them. Bright spots on the team, of course, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. If you must know, he was my second pick in the draft, which is pretty wild, right?
Man. Uh-huh.
And I am predicted by Yahoo to score the most points in the league this year. Wow. I had a good draft.
By the way, is Mike Muscala, did you say him?
I did not say him because he's not going to play. Okay. But yeah, he's on the team. Who gives a fuck?
He's listed on the team.
No. What do you mean, who knows?
I don't know. He come back out of the blue. Everyone's got a...
What do you mean, come back?
Cinderella story.
No. There's no coming back for Mike Muscala. What is Mike Muscala going to do? His stats don't even load on NBA.com.
First of all, you failed to recognize that he's perhaps the greatest Laker of all time. So Horford, how long is Horford's contract?
He's signed for 3 years last year. So yeah. I think he's got 2 more years on his contract.
I actually think this is a very smart move by Sam Presti. So this is Horford on a contract it's going to run out right when they are wanting to, you know, have all of these draft picks come into full flower. But also this is a year where you're in arena attendance probably is not going to matter.
Yeah.
So all the things about like we're fielding a team that is not a good product to watch for fans to come in and buy merchandise and pay for concessions. Well, that's probably not going to be a thing on your budget sheet this year.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of smart to kind of like process 2.0 this, process COVID style.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I think Shea is going to be really good. I think that it'll be tough to watch him lose a bunch of games, but I think he knows what the plan is and he's ready to be a part of that. So, I got them at 15 wins.
Ooh, I'll put them at 12.
Ooh.
I mean, given the roster, like when are they going to win a game? What's going to have to happen for them to win a game?
Well, they have to play the Cavs.
Yeah, that'll be the toilet bowl series.
Up next, you got the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets, the surprise of the offseason, or the surprise of the bubble last year. They added JaMychal Green. They added Facundo Campazzo. Don't know if you know him or not. But you got to watch some of his highlights. He's a short Italian guy, and he smokes a pack of cigarettes while he plays. It's amazing. I love it. They've got some good young players on this team.
They lost Jeremy Grant.
They lost Jeremy Grant. They lost Mason Plumlee. They still have Gary Harris, unfortunately, but they're just getting better. I think that the Jokic-Murray combo is going to be good for them. I think that they're going to get that combo of Will Barton, Monty Morris, Gary Harris, PJ Dozier. Like, all right, they're just all guys. They're just dudes who are there to play defense and shoot threes. You got Paul Millsap still. He should have retired. They really like Michael Porter Jr. He's probably going to have a really, really big role on this team going forward. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Zeke Nnaji was really good in the preseason. Just another player born in the year 2001. Very wild. These are things that are happening right now. But
I think they're going to step back.
Oh, okay. All right.
The only thing that could offset this would be a leap by Michael Porter Jr. But I think that they are the opposite of the Miami Heat in that I think that these guys could potentially be a little too big for their britches based on challenging for the final spot this year. And I think they're going to win 43 games.
All right. I got them at 50. I really like the Denver Nuggets this year. I think they're a good team, and I think they will continue along their path.
By the way, I think they'll still be dangerous in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is a team that will be okay with just like making the playoffs.
Okay, that's fair.
I think they're a team that will think they can just turn it on.
Yeah, that's fair. Cool. Up next, we have the shell of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, this is a bummer.
This really is a bummer. This is not what we wanted. We wanted Clay back, but Clay took the back of his foot and separated it from the rest of his ligaments with his Achilles tail. His Achilles tear.
Achilles' father lowered him into the river by his tail.
Yes. Yeah. That so, is actually the way it went. So, yeah. Oh, what a bummer. I think that, then they panic traded for Kelly Oubre. They still have Andrew Wiggins for some reason. Good Lord.
This is the year.
Yeah, no, man.
He actually had a decent season for them last year.
Okay. How many games did they lose again? All of them?
I don't know, but his stats were not too bad for last year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Wiggins has had great stats on teams that haven't won. So now we'll see if he can have bad stats on a team that wins.
So I was excited to see these are the Warriors without KD returning back.
Mm-hmm.
Idea. I love that story. It's not going to happen this year.
Not going to happen next year either. I mean, what is Clay going to come back from two devastating injuries and be a good player? Not going to happen, my guy. It's a bummer. I really wanted them to be a better team this year, but instead, I think they're going to ride Steph Curry to a 9 seed in the Western Conference. I don't know. I've got them at 30 wins.
Hmm. It's interesting given what you said about them. 30 seems high to me.
Well, you haven't heard what I'm going to say about the rest of the Western Conference.
Well, because in my mind, if Curry carries them to what seed did you say? 7?
I said the 9 seed.
9. If he carries them into the playoffs, or like it's in contention for playoffs, I think he's in the discussion for MVP. He won't win it. You won't win MVP for being a 9th seed, but like, I think it's going to be a Herculean effort by him. I'm going to give them, now I'm a little bit stumped. Let me see. Yeesh. Cause I was going to give them like 16. I'm going to bump them up to, I'll go 17.
Yeah. We're way off on them. Cause I still think that the core of, Steph Curry and Draymond Green is enough to win them more games than they did last year. But
that's probably true. I think in my mind, I'm factoring in that if Clay's out, I don't know if Steph plays the whole season.
That's fair. Yeah. I think if they're in contention to make the 10th spot, the 10th seed,
then he will. Yeah.
Okay. Rolling up next, we got the much improved Sacramento Kings. You saw what they did this offseason. They improved by letting Bogdan Bogdanovich walk for nothing and by firing only Vlade Divac, but not Luke Walton also. And then just keeping and signing Hassan Whiteside. They got, oh no, actually the Kings got worse.
Wait. So if you think that, I believe you think that the Trailblazers added by subtracting Hassan Whiteside,
then ergo ipso ipto facto, which is Latin for fuck Hassan Whiteside.
Right.
The Kings got worse by adding Hassan Whiteside. That's just math. Ooh, what a bummer. I would love it if the Kings were better, but they still are paying Harrison Barnes. Marvin Bagley still hasn't shown that he can do anything. Buddy Hield still doesn't know if he's a starter or a bench player. De'Aaron Fox isn't good yet. And Tyrese Haliburton is just too young to be a factor. I'm not in on the Sacramento Kings.
No, neither am I. I like De'Aaron Fox. He's fun to watch.
He's fun to watch, but he's not good yet.
Yeah, and Buddy Hield has flashes of being a fun player to watch. Maybe they're a Harden destination. Although I can't imagine James Harden wanting to live in Sacramento.
I don't like them as a Harden situation. I don't know. I feel like they're trying to win by going young, and that would be good if their young players were good, but we got to wait and see on a couple of them.
There's really no period in modern NBA history where you can think of the Sacramento Kings as being like an organization that's good at either like building from the ground up or developing talent. Ever since the, you know, the peak of the Weber, I forgot who, what's his name? Jackson and the coach's kid.
The peak when Bibby, Mike Bibby.
Bibby, coach's kid, Mike Bibby.
Vlade Divac, Jason Williams, and Chris Webber, and Doug Christie.
Doug Christie. And what was his name? This, like the backup point guard. His name was like Jackson.
Frank Jackson? No. Yeah, I remember who you're talking about.
Bald guy.
Yeah.
Lots of energy.
He kind of looked like JB Smooth. Bobby Jackson.
Bobby Jackson, yeah, yeah. But anyway, no, I don't think they're going to do. Did I already say how many games did I give them?
I can say what I'm going to say. It's 28 is my games for the Kings.
You know what? Can I make a change? Can I bump the Warriors up to 19 and I'll give these guys 15?
Oh, you're going way down. Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I don't like them, but I don't hate them as much as you do. Up next, we got the Phoenix Suns.
An interesting team.
I love the Suns this year. I think the Suns are going to be way better than people think.
I think this team's going to be a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be an absolute pain in the ass for everybody to deal with. Chris Paul's a pain in the ass. Devin Booker's a pain in the ass. Jay Crowder's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I'm in on the Phoenix Suns. I think the Phoenix Suns are going to make that leap into a solid team, a solid, solid team. I have them up at 45 wins.
I'm going to give them 41. I think that they are one of the teams that you're just going to be annoyed to play on when they're next up.
Oh yeah.
Cause you don't want to chase Devin Booker around and you don't want to deal with Chris Paul.
No, I agree with you.
I don't see them as a huge playoff threat, but I think regular season, they're going to be annoying as F, as the kids say.
Yeah, I see that. Up next, we have everybody's favorite team. the love of like some parts of Eastern Culver City, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Why do we have so many sad franchises in this league?
I don't know, man. Sadness runs in the DNA of basketball. You know, here's the thing about the Clippers. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. You know, when we started seeing all the extensions that came out today and we saw the one that the Clippers signed, did you see this?
I did not see this.
They extended Luke Kennard.
Oh, you did. Yes, yes, yes. Did you say
I tweeted
insanity?
That it was insanity.
Yes.
And I may need to walk back that it's insanity and more that it's just like, this is not a good decision.
Right.
Because I was talking with our friend Darren about it. And I think I'm still stuck on like a lower cap value mindset on a lot of these contracts. Because, right, if I think about it, oh, I would absolutely pay Luke Kennard $8 million a year. Well, in 2013, that's what he would have gotten based on the cap value.
Okay.
Right? So the cap has doubled since then. It's wild how much the cap has just really grown.
So he's basically getting exactly what you would have paid him back then.
Yes.
Because it's now 16, right? A year, essentially, average?
Yeah, it's 16 a year average.
Okay.
So I think I'm taking back the insanity and more going with the, this is a poor decision because I would rather have paid him $12 million. But like, even that, like, I don't know.
Right.
I'm splitting hairs here, and the ability to pay one person that amount of money is actually more valuable to their team than the actual player itself. They're just like hoping he can be okay, because if he's not okay, they can dump his contract on somebody and like trade for a valuable player instead.
Well, and he's one of those players that like had a jump up last season with the Pistons, and you're kind of hoping like, hey, we're just trying to grab talent for this team just to see what we can what pieces we can make fit around these two guys.
Yeah, and now he'll have the same level of money in the clubhouse as Marcus Morris, so they'll have the same sort of clubhouse presence.
Exactly.
Yeah, they gained Serge Ibaka. They lost Montrezl Harrell. They lost that guy who went to the Nuggets, whose name I can never fucking remember.
I think...
Jermichael Green.
I feel like... Maybe I'm just being too much of a Lakers fan, but I feel like losing Harrell is significant.
I mean, it's significant for their bench unit, but they can change the way that they structure their minutes to kind of take that hit away. Yeah. But he really did do a lot for their bench unit in the regular season. You know, that's why he was a sixth man of the year. So I still like the Clippers. I don't think that they're going to get stuck in the weird, we hate ourselves malaise that they had last season. So I'm going to bump them at 52 games.
You know what? That's a good point. Sorry, who's their coach now?
Ty Lue.
Okay. I think that they will get a little bit of anti-malaise bump from the new coach factor. I think that it's possible. First of all, who knows what kind of psychological undermining Doc Rivers was doing to Paul George that will never be revealed.
We'll never reveal it.
Yeah, that all makes sense. I just want to look at how much... Okay, Montrezl Harrell was a 19-7 guy from last year that they lost. Okay. You know, these guys do have something to prove.
Yeah.
They are not going to take... They have won nothing, and I don't think that they will have a sense of like, hey, we're really as good as the Lakers, which going into the bubble, I think that they had a claim to, and it was so... so strongly repudiated that I think that they will have something to play for in the regular season.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them at 52.
Hey, look at us. Just be in the agreement, boys.
Actually, let me give you a really hot take. I think they're going to win the division.
Whoa.
So wait. Give them 53 for me. 53.
Okay. All right. Here we are. Up next, we have a team near and dear to our hearts, the Los Angeles Lakers of California.
Yep.
Love what they did this offseason. I'm not a homer. I'm just a cool guy.
I don't even think that's a homer stretch at all.
It's not. They traded Danny Green for our best short shorts guy.
Dennis Schroeder.
And we also signed Montrezl Harrell to a 2-year mid-level deal. Great value on that contract. Signed Wesley Matthews to a vet min to come in and be Danny Green, but less money. Signed Anthony Davis and LeBron James to extensions. Signed Kyle Kuzma to an extension. None of that really affects this season, but...
My underappreciated Twitter joke that they said bae to Marc Gasol.
Ah, they did say bae to Marc Gasol. And bae in Spanish means?
Biannual exception? Exemption?
Yes, whatever? It does. I forgot they signed Marc Gasol. How could I forget that? He's their starting center. Wild. They'll be able to sign another. They only have 14 rostered players. They'll be able to sign another player soon in the season because they're hard capped. So they can't pay him for the whole year. But
and that's going to be Devin Williams, who recently won the YouTube one-on-one against Devontae Frigga.
Really excited. The Lakers
I paid $10 for.
Jesus. Yeah. Lakers have really been using YouTube as a recruiting tool. Really excited to get that good Laker money from YouTube.
So let me give you my quick hot take, and then I want to hear your perspective on the Kuzma extension. I think that this team will be better. I actually think I'm pretty confident that they will. I think they have a very good shot at repeating this team. I think that they are not going to care that much about the regular season, and I think they're going to protect themselves in terms of playing time and injuries. And I think they're going to win 51 games and come in second in the division. And I don't think it matters. I think they're going to be a monster in the playoffs.
Love it. In my head, I've got the Lakers at 55 wins. I think they're better than last season. Mm-hmm. I think that they will play better than last season because they are deeper, they are stronger, and I think that they'll be able to overpower teams with their depth and their fantastic ability to just kick ass.
That's all fair.
I like their team. I like what's going on in Lakertown.
I also think they are better than last year, and I think their record's going to be slightly worse.
Right.
That's it. But I think they're better. I definitely think they're better. Let me hear your Kuzma feelings.
After seeing every other extension, my Kuzma feelings got even better. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I think that they signed him to that, like, $13 million a year contract.
Uh-huh.
What a deal.
Yeah.
What a deal. And I know you hate this because you want to get rid of him, but I think that for what he does, which is like shoot the ball.
Yeah.
He is he's a great fit on the team. And I think that he is somebody who other teams can also covet. I think other teams will also covet what he brings to the table.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think that paying him $12 million a year to flip him for somebody else in the future, maybe younger players, is a huge possibility. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I don't think that's what they value him as. But if he becomes a more valuable asset because of this contract, because he was hard to trade for people because he was making $1.5 million on his rookie deal. Yep. Right now, he's not hard to trade. He could be traded.
Yep. I agree with all that. Like, in a way, this is the perfect, like, let's see how he does in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And we'll just move him if it's not working.
Yeah,
so I'm actually fine with it.
Yeah.
By the way, when is the next, like, a player agreement, or when is the next?
It's all in flux. It's all in flux because of the pandemic.
Because, I mean, you got to assume that revenues and the salary cap are going to be fucked the next time they look at these things again.
Yeah.
TV contracts? Yikes.
Because here's the deal. I think that the TV contracts are not going to be as bad as people think they are, because ratings are not all the be-all end all of sports viewing measurement.
Uh-huh.
There's more to it than that. So I'm not super worried about the contracts getting lower because of that. Here's my thought. I think they're going to keep the number high, and I think they're just going to keep bringing the number up, even if the revenue doesn't match that number, and then they'll adjust it down afterwards. That's my thought. I think they're going to treat this as a blip, and I think they're going to treat any revenue dip as a blip and keep the number up so that it doesn't feel like the contracts are like out of pace with each other. I think those inflated contracts will stay the same. And I think
you don't want one off season where like a bunch of players have to sign contracts that are like, well, I signed for $6 million. My supermax was 38, you know,
Exactly. Right. So I think they're going to keep that the same and then spread that hit out among everybody. And I think that that's the smart thing to do.
You know what? They're going to treat the pandemic like Luol Deng. They're going to stretch it.
Wow. You got to stretch it. Treat it like Nicholas Batum. I forgot. Nick Batum's on the Clippers. Whatever. Who cares? He's been so bad in the preseason.
Yeah. I saw that as like an afterthought the other day. I was like, oh, look at him. Still with a job. All right. The Southwest.
Yeah. We're moving to the land of Zion, New Orleans, with their newly minted small forward who has a ton of money now. Our old guy, Brandon Ingram. Other New Orleans Pelicans acquisitions in the offseason, Eric Bledsoe, Steven Adams.
Why can I not find Brandon Ingram's contract on Basketball Reference?
I don't know.
Because according to this, Steven Adams is the highest player on the team. It could, I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of times there's these weirdnesses where like the contract isn't officially published yet because of this and that.
Yeah, that could be it. But he's not. Brandon Ingram is the highest paid player on that team.
Right. Okay.
So.
Oh, no. I have Steven Adams making 27.5. Brandon Ingram making 27.2.
Well, then F my F and call me an F.
And then he will be making a lot more.
Got it.
This is the end of Stephen Adams' contract.
So. Well, then I guess I'm wrong. Hey, wow. Congrats to Stephen Adams, man.
How do you feel about this team?
I don't know, man. This is going to be a tough one because I don't know much about how they're going to play with a full year of Zion. I mean, I like them. I hope that they have their shit together on defense under a Stan Van Gundy team. This is a team that I really want to see them play before I make a decision about this, but I can't because we're doing this right now. So,
I mean, if you want, we could just say, like, come back to this in May, May or June, and then pick how many games you think they're going to win.
You know what? That's actually a really good point. I think I'll probably be a little more accurate then. But yeah, they all right, let's do that. Let's put a pin in this one, and we'll come back to it.
They have a top six players that are like all players that you know to be decent basketball players.
Yeah,
and I have almost no sense of how they will fit together. You got, so I'm just reading, this is their salary. Stephen Adams, Brandon Ingram, Eric Bledsoe, J.J. Redick, Lonzo Ball, Zion Williamson, and I mean, well, let's throw Josh Hart in there.
Oh, our good old buddy Joshy.
But like, what is the, like, if I gave you those names and it's like, hey, it's going to be this kind of basketball team, I really have no idea.
Oh, it's, yeah, they're going to be a basketball team that does, so they'll do the, okay, well, the way you move a ball from one person to another is called a pass. So they're going to pass the ball. I know what you mean. They're going to be a team that runs through Zion and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is, and they're going
to
play.
You know, I think that's the key to what I'm thinking, though. Like, is I don't know how well those two guys fit together.
Do they have to fit together, or can they be complementary pieces that don't fit? Uncomplimentary pieces, anti-complimentary. Like, what's the vibe that I'm looking for? Like, just two dudes who are both good and do different things. Like, I don't know. I think that they're a team that is growing, that will be growing and continue to grow. I don't know where Eric Bledsoe fits on this team. JJ Redick can fit on any team. I want to watch them play. I really like the idea of Zion Williamson more than I like, the actuality of him yet. So
we're gonna see think that if Zion Williamson becomes the player that, you know, I feel like in the last couple of drafts that he's one of the only players that anyone has talked about as being a quote generational talent.
Yeah.
That I think this is a team that is potentially faced with a decision between him and Brandon Ingram as to which who's the heart of the team. Because it's not like a big man and a guard that can mesh together like a Jokic and a Jamal Murray. But we'll see. I mean,
it kind of is, right?
It kind of is because of the way Ingram plays.
Yeah, Ingram plays like a guard, and Zion Williamson plays like a big man, even though Ingram is taller than Zion Williamson.
Yeah, I just don't know that
it's like particular... it's like Joe Pesci and what's his face. From Goodfellas. Who's the other guy?
Joe Pesci is from Goodfellas.
Yeah, but what's the name of the other actor, the one who is not Robert De Niro?
Ray Liotta?
Yes. It's like Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta, right? Zion Williamson is your Joe Pesci, who's like the brute. He's the brute force. And Joe Pesci's like Ray Liotta's like the guard. He's got the shifty moves. He's, you know, trying to run around and
yeah. I'm still.
This is the skeptical. This is the worst movie reference I've ever made.
I'm still skeptical about the Brandon Ingram as perimeter player model for his career, but you know, we'll see. It worked out okay, I guess.
Worked out great last season. He was fantastic. I like this team. I don't think that they're going to be great. I'm going to put them down at 32 wins.
I'm going to give him 27.
Okay. Works.
Good league pass team, though.
Great league pass team. Terrible league pass team.
Why?
Because most of their games are going to be on national TV. They got like 14 national TV
games. Oh, did they really? Just because of Zion?
Just because of Zion, yeah.
Okay, never mind then. Right. Next, we got the San Antonio Spurs.
The San Antonio Spurs, to me, feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers of the West.
Yes. That's... except that they have a much better organization, but yeah.
Yes, and that is why they feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers of the West. And that's just this season is how I feel about it. And here's the parallels. Their young guards, I don't hate, I like.
Okay.
Their old, worn-out players, I don't hate, I just don't care about.
Okay.
Right? So, like...
So are you saying, wait, you're saying they are the Cavaliers of the West?
Yes, but the Cavaliers of the West are much better than the Cavaliers of the East. But they're okay. they're just similarly built in that they have young guards who are unproven. Okay. And they have older big guys, and I guess DeMar DeRozan, who are both proven and boring.
So you don't hate
Colin
Sexton and Garland.
Oh, I do hate Colin Sexton and Garland.
Okay.
Just like I hate the East, right?
I'm just trying to match up this parallel.
It's a good parallel, and it's not that it's 11:35. It's that it's a good parallel. I think that they're just a team I don't super care about.
Yeah, I don't either.
And that's okay. Hey, I don't have to care about every team.
I think they've got decent enough veterans that I think they're going to win 30 games. But okay. Because, I mean, I think it's hard. I think that, say what you will about DeRozan, if he's healthy, he's a reliable, whatever, I can't even think what his, I'm going to guess that he's a reliable 19 points in the bucket per game.
19 points in the bucket?
He's probably maybe even average better than that.
In the bucket, 19 points, 19
yeah,
points.
Yeah, look at him. He's a career 20-point shoot per game. Yeah,
but he hasn't averaged less than 20 points since 2013.
Well, still, what I say is true. He's a reliable 19.
Yeah, he'll get you there. Okay. I mean, I'm okay with that. I think that they're going to be a team that does not make the playoffs, and it's a bummer because they're trying. But I'm gonna get them at.
They're in that like wasteland of like. We're a solid organization that can't really have. We haven't been the type of organization that does like the process, and we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So we are going to put this team out for you to watch.
Yep. Unfortunately for me, that puts them at 28 wins.
Okay. What did I say? 30?
I think so.
Okay. Next
moving
up.
Moving on up to Memphis. Ja Morant got that piece of the pie.
Ja Morant, very fun player to watch.
Love me some Ja Morant. I'm excited for the Ja Morant breakout season. I'm excited for how he continues to fit with the very cool, very sweet Brandon Clark from Gonzaga. See the Dylan Brooks sharpshooter takeover. See if Jaren Jackson Jr. can come back. See if Justice Winslow can come back. See how Kyle Anderson keeps fitting into things. I mean, you know, I think that this is a fun team with some cool young rookies. Desmond Bain, Jontae Porter. I don't know if they're there yet, but I would not be surprised if they have a fantastic, fantastic, like eighth seed-ish kind of season. Like play tough, be a tough out, you know. I'd put them around 31 wins, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me again, what did they lose significantly from last year?
They lost almost nothing from last year. They have not lost very much.
Then I'm going to put them around... I'm going to give them 35.
Oh, wow. All right.
Because they won 34 games last year.
Yep.
And assuming a little bit of Ja Morant's a fun player to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give him that 35.
Yeah.
By the way, in doing a little research on them just now, they lost Yuta Watanabe, who was just signed yesterday by the Toronto Raptors, a Japanese player.
Hell yes.
So.
Up next.
Next. Here we go.
We got our Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis. No longer Seth Curry, but still have Tim Hardaway Jr. Added Josh Richardson from Philadelphia in the Seth Curry trade. the Mavericks, I think Luka Doncic is very, very special. And I am very happy that he is playing in our NBA. I love it so much.
Uh-huh. What is our latest, like, feelings about Porzingis' health in general?
The Zinger, he's our guy, and he is going to be back at some point in January.
Okay. I think that the Dallas Mavericks are going to win the division.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're going to win 51 games.
Wow. All right. Okay. I'm going to put them at 48. But okay. Yes, I do think they're going to win the division. I think they're the best team in the Southwest. Southwest has gotten worse than it has been in the past, but I think that they're like the Dallas is the cream of the crop just because of one man, because of Luka. I think he's so good.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for Luka Magic. It's yeah. Hell yes.
Okay. And now again, another sad franchise.
Very sad. The Houston Rockets, big losses in the off season. They lost Gerald Green. They cut him, big loss. They lost Russell Westbrook. They traded him for John Wall. They signed DeMarcus Cousins. They signed Christian Wood. Other than that, nothing much to talk about there, right? There's like there's some other guy on the team. What's his name?
The guy who used to play for the Thunder. Scott Brooks.
Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks. Yeah. New coach Steven Silas walked into a minefield with our good friend James Harden, who is at practice, not answering any questions about how he feels about the team. He is, as it seems, unhappy, and he wants to leave Houston. They still have PJ Tucker, who is also unhappy and wants to leave Houston. They have Eric Gordon. This is a real tough one. They still got Ben McLemore. I don't know. I don't see them being good because of their like ridiculous amount of like unsettled team. I don't know. This is a tough one. They're really tough to predict.
Let me tell you a real easy way to do it. Because there's so much chaos around this team. They lost their coach, general manager, arguably first or second best player. Their best player wants to leave, and they traded for John Wall. So because they traded for John Wall, I'm just going to have them winning the same number of games that the Washington Wizards won last year.
Oh.
So I'm going to have them – because I think maybe Harden is probably not lasting the whole year. So I'm going to give them 25 games.
Okay, that seems very low, and I'm going to give them 40 games.
Ooh.
So, for me, I think that they're still good. I just think they're going to be very unsettled and a very strange season for them.
To me, like, I have no idea how John Wall is going to be, and also he's in a harder conference, and also I'll be very surprised if Harden lasts the whole season. So, you know, and I can also see Tillman Fertitta. Is that his name? Is that
weird? Yeah, it's Tillman Fertitta.
Just being like, fuck it, full on tank.
Yeah, I could see that too. I hope not. But we'll see what happens.
All right. What have we created for ourselves in the Western Conference?
What have we done?
What a day it has been.
Wow. Okay, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Wow. Look at us. We're really doing it. Okay. I have got our summary here.
Okay.
Just do that real quick. One through 15. Okay. So our amazing good friends. We have your first place team, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Uh-huh.
My first place team, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
We have those backwards for each other. I've got the Lakers at 55, You got the Clippers at 53. I got the Clippers at 52. You got the Lakers at 51. My next team is the Denver Nuggets at 50 wins.
Okay.
You have the Dallas Mavericks at 51.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Mavericks at 48. You got the Jazz at 45. I got the Jazz at 46. You got the Nuggets at 43.
Okay.
I got the Suns at 45. You got the Suns at 41.
Ooh, okay. So they're both the six seeds?
Six seeds, yeah.
Okay.
Now we're in the play-in.
Right.
I got Portland at 43. You got Portland at 40.
Okay.
I got Houston at 40. You got Memphis at 35.
Okay.
I got New Orleans at 32. You got San Antonio at 30.
Whoa.
And I got Memphis at 31. And you got New Orleans at 27.
Okay.
I got Golden State at 30, which puts them at the 11th seed, right out of the playoffs.
Right.
You got the Houston Rockets at 25.
Okay.
I got the Kings at 28. And you got the Timberwolves at 24. That's the 12th seed. I got the Spurs at 28. You got the Warriors at 19. At the very bottom, I have the Timberwolves at 25. You have the Kings at 15. And I got the Thunder at 15. And you have the Thunder at 12.
Hey.
With my total of 568 wins for the Western Conference, and your total of 511 wins for the Western Conference. So you have the Eastern Conference being much stronger this year.
Yeah, I don't. Who the hell knows why I have that?
The total wins this year for the Western Conference, I have 1,085. Or, sorry, for the league, sorry. The total number of wins in the league I have is 1,085.
That's pretty close.
And you have 1,072.
That's not bad, considering I think it's 1,080 is the total.
Let's see. Let's see. What's the total here?
Well, there's 72 games, right?
It's 72 times 15, right?
Yeah. Like, for coming off the top of our heads, that's pretty good.
Feeling real good if you average our guesses together.
Yeah, wisdom of crowds. Right. Two people is a crowd.
1,085 plus 1,072.
Yeah.
Divided by two. Close. We were off by 1.5 games.
Yeah. And there's no sheets of paper in front of us.
No.
There's no notes for this bullshit.
No, we're off the dome. I mean, yes, I mean, I was writing this down on a spreadsheet that had last season's win-loss records, but those last season's win-loss records weren't the same as this one. Every team is different.
Well, also, like a third of the teams last year have win-loss totals that add up to 65 as opposed to 70. Like, it's all fucked.
It's all fucked, man. But I tell you what's not fucked. I'm pretty proud of that. We did pretty good.
Yeah. That's our intuitive sense of the league. And also another ring for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. Let's go. Wow. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed our little preseason predictions.
Casey, we got to do one more thing, though.
Uh-oh. What do we got to do?
We got to pick a game of the week.
Oh, that's right. It's the game of the week. We're back.
I actually don't remember who we left off with.
We're going to pick the Christmas Day game between the Lakers and...
Is it Clippers, I assume?
No. Clippers-Lakers is tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
my God. This is a great game.
Yeah. It's the Dallas-Los Angeles Christmas game. Merry Christmas to everybody. I have married into a Jewish family, so we are losing Christmas as a part of our family traditions. We're going to be a non-Christmas family, which I'm excited about to get out of the Christmas spell.
But. Dude, you're taking the red pill. You're opting out. Is that not what that means?
He's yeah, I think so. Yeah, you hear it and you're like, I don't know if I. But yes.
All right. I mean, but one thing that you're not opting out of, Christmas basketball.
Oh, yeah. Hell no.
Christmas basketball. If anything, just frees you up for that.
Frees me up for Christmas basketball. Really excited about it.
That is on Christmas Day. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time, so it'll be 5 p.m. for us. It's on ESPN, ABC. Uh-huh. It says ABC ESPN, so does it mean it'll be on both?
Simulcast, yeah.
Sweet. So everybody's got to watch this. This is the Mavericks at the Lakers mm-hmm. in what I presume will be an empty Staples Center.
Yep. And, yeah, we'll follow the winner of that game on their journey this season.
Right. Cool, man. Well, everybody have a, if you celebrate Christmas, have a great Christmas. If you don't, just have a great week.
Yeah, and we'll catch you later.
Bye.